Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, darling. All right, you guys ready for the word this morning? The kids can be dismissed. Go downstairs. They were worshiping with us this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. The title of our series is No Longer Slaves to Fear. No Longer Slaves to Fear. And 1 John 4:18 is like our theme scripture. And you, whatever translation that you have, NIV, King James, New American Standard, all great translations, but I want to read it in the Amplified. We'll put it up. It's already up on the screen. Just to review last week, you can always get our podcasts are always uploaded pretty quickly on our website, and you can always download those and listen to those. I actually like to go in and listen to them myself just to find out what the Holy Spirit said that day. Because he speaks through you sometimes, and the inspiration comes, and you're like, wow, that was really good, God. But 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We have this door over here that we used last week as a prop, because it says that perfect love, or God's love, turns fear out of doors. And this door represents our fear. But perfect love knocks down doors. Perfect love destroys the doors of fear that we hide behind, whatever that may be. And so we're going to do a few things in the next couple of weeks with this door as another continuing illustration to really illustrate the point here and what the scripture is trying to get across to us. But fear is something that we hide behind, whether it be taking risk or moving forward in relationships, taking financial risk, loving again. It can be anything. It can be symbolic to your fear, or it can be the actual door of your home that you hide behind. Not you, of course, but those who refuse to come to church this morning because they fear going out, or they fear people, or they fear being around others. And, you know, this door can represent a lot of things. But perfect love destroys these doors. And we talked about the fear of the Lord as compared to fear itself. And that when we increase in our knowledge of the fear of the Lord, the fear of man and our other fears decrease. The more that we increase in the fear and the respect and the adoration and the awe of God and who he is, and what he made us to be, and what he's placed inside of us. When we come to that personal revelation and we increase in that fear, all other fears will be dispelled, whatever it may be. Amen? I said last week that forever fearful, never scared. Forever fear-full, full of the fear and respect and the adoration and the awe of God, never scared. Great little saying. Now this week, if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 in the Old Testament, I want to go through the story of Elijah and what he went through. Great Old Testament prophet, Old Testament character, had his share of difficulties and challenges in his ministry. And he's prophesying in a time where Ahab is married to the wonderful woman called Jezebel. Jezebel was someone that you did not want to be around. You certainly didn't want to be married to her. Okay? She was a very wicked woman. And Ahab did not have the courage, because she was controlling, did not have the courage to lead his home. They tell me that the last decision that Ahab ever made was at the altar when he said, "I do." That was it. His wife dominated everything else. Now, there's a lot of husbands like that. You guys out there? None here, of course. You are married to amazingly sweet and loving and caring and respectful women. Can you say amen? And vice versa. Not controlling one another, but we have each other's best interest at heart. We have mutual submission, which means mutual respect for each other. Not one being dominated over the other. Now, Ahab was definitely a wimp. And Jezebel, at this point in the story, is getting a recap of what happened on Mount Carmel. Because the prophet Elijah, who is the mouthpiece of God on the earth at that time, had an amazing, you know, amazing things happen in his ministry. Spectacular things happen. I mean, this is the guy that prayed and stopped the rain from coming for 3 years. And then God, in the midst of that, provided for him and fed him with ravens bringing him food. I mean, he saw the miraculous things of God happen in the midst of his ministry. And really, the pinnacle of his ministry was that the false prophets who actually were employed by Jezebel, she's paying these people, he has a showdown on the top of Mount Carmel with them. Who can call down fire from heaven and burn up the sacrifices? Now, the false prophets could not do it, although they tried and they danced and they shouted around the altar and they cut themselves and they acted weird and crazy, demonic. And Ahab's over there watching them and laughing at them and making fun of them. And then he has his altar. He's going to call down fire from heaven. But before he does, he fills it with wood. He has his school, the prophets. He had some assistants, some interns with him. He said, "Go get some buckets of water and pour it on there. We're going to really show these false prophets who God is." So they carry these big buckets of water and they pour it on the altar and they soak it. And he says, "Do it again." So they go out and they get some more water. They're carrying like these big 32-gallon buckets of, you know, that we have downstairs. I can imagine them lifting those things up and pouring water on them. And he stands there. He says, "Do it again." Brings it back multiple times. Literally the altar is soaked so that these false prophets could not, you know, think somehow Elijah has a little spark under there and he's gonna try to trick us. And no, this thing is completely soaked. And when he calls down fire from heaven, the fire comes down and consumes the offering and consumes the wood. And at that point, confuses the prophets. And Elijah kills 850 of these false prophets. Talk about an amazing victory. Now, word gets back to Queen Jezebel. Of course, she's not happy. Elijah, you know, at this point is at the pinnacle of his ministry. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, verse 1. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.'" In verse 3, it says, Elijah was, what did he say? Afraid. Fearful. Elijah was afraid. Now, there's a lot of things you could say about Elijah. He was definitely confident. He may have, you know, been borderline cocky, but afraid? The next part of the scripture says, and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush and he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. Anybody ever pray that prayer? Come on, be honest. We've all prayed that prayer before. Oh God, please take me. I can't deal with this anymore. Yeah, what are y'all looking at me for? Come on now. We've all been that low. We're like, this is crazy, God. Remove me from here. I just want to go to heaven. He prayed that he might die. He's like, I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. Now, this is the guy that turns off the rain supply from heaven, like we turn off the shower. Okay? This is a guy who survives 3 years of drought, and the ravens come and bring him food. Basically, the guy had room service, right? All these things happen. And here's Elijah. He calls fire down from heaven to swallow up the offering. Now, Elijah really is being used by God. He's a normal guy like you and I, chosen by God to do something significant. He has emotional setbacks like we do. He has fears like we have to deal with. Now, faith is not the absence of fear, but it is the presence of a greater God. There is an illusion that when we step out and move forward in his plan to do what God's asked us to do, that there's no fear. Elijah ran away from the place where he was supposed to be. He ran for his life. Fear keeps us from being where God wants us to be, or going to where God wants us to go when he speaks to us. Fear will keep us from talking about Jesus in public and witnessing about Christ, representing him. Fear will keep us from forgiving. Fear will keep us from loving and being in future committed relationships because of past things, past relationships that failed. Now, there's a couple things here that I want to get across this morning as far as what God told Elijah that I think that can really help us. The first thing is this. He told Elijah to get up and eat. Get up and eat. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, it says, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Now, you know, we live in the Portland area. I would assume that bread is gluten-free, right? I'm sure that water is pure mountain stream water from Mount Hood. Healthy. And the next part of that scripture says, he ate and drank and then lay down again. Now, I don't know about you. If you're looking for a life, you know, theme scripture, this could be it right here. You guys get that? He ate and drank and then lay down again. I mean, I like that, you know? Instead of like go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I'm going to take this one right here. He ate and he drank and then he lay down again. Kind of like this guy on the screen here. You know, this is, you guys get that picture? Oh, the computer has issues. Well, it's the picture of the quintessential American couch potato. Anyways, don't take that verse as your life verse, okay? I think that we have to realize is this. Even the strongest human courage is not enough. even the smartest, most educated person, it's just not enough. We within ourselves have limited resources. Elijah knew God's power. The question is, why would he be afraid of Jezebel after killing 850 men? I mean, can you picture that? The gore, the mess that created. I mean, it's like a movie that you watch. He kills 850 men, yet he's afraid of Jezebel. So much afraid that Jezebel was going to kill him. And he runs away. Runs completely out of God's will. And within the course of a month or so, they estimate that he ran actually 200 miles. That's a long way to run from God. My take on this, it's just a thought, is this. I personally don't think that Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. I think that Elijah was tired. I think that he was more afraid to have to fight another battle after exerting all that energy. See, it's the fear of living your life in the condition you're in that makes you not want to keep going on. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time. He's coming back again. Now notice this, even though Elijah is far off from where he needs to be, even though that we are, many times we're in rebellion, we're out of God's will, know this, God still cares for you and God still loves you. And he's going to do everything he can to get you back. He's still going to help you. He'll still provide for you. Because of his grace and his mercy and his love, that's who God is. It says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. See, even God knows that we need physical strength in order to do what he's called us to do. We have to take care of ourselves physically. We've got to eat right. You know, my wife, if she doesn't eat regularly, you know, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she's like, food, I need food. I'm thinking, why do you do this to yourself? It's like, eat, honey, eat. We've got to eat. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to take care of the temple that God has given us and keep it healthy in order to do what God's asked us to do. So God is spoon feeding Elijah. That's how much he cares about him. But Elijah, really, he was not running for his life by running from his life. He says, get up and eat. Eat something. Now, how easy could God make it? He bakes the bread and puts it by his head. Elijah's still running, though. In verse 9, it says, there he went into a cave and he spent the night. Which the door represents. The door represents the cave. Went in that cave to hide, still not convinced that he is going to go for what God wants him to go for and continue on in his ministry. So he finds this cave and he crawls into this cave behind in that dark, dark place, avoiding obeying God. Now, I truly believe that the reason why we become so dominated by fear many times is because we are literally feeding our fear and not feeding our faith. We feed our fears behind or in the cave or behind those doors of fear by not getting into God's word and counteracting that fear, by not increasing the fear of the Lord, which decreases the fear of man. Yet we'll call everyone else up, those who aren't Christians, to talk about our fears. Get advice from people who don't know God. Try to justify our fears and try to justify our reaction or our action to those fears to not do anything anymore for God. Because of what happened at that church, I don't want to go back there. That offense that we took, that someone said this or someone said that. I don't want to go back to that church when we know that God placed you in that body and in that church to be a part of that community. And in the midst of any community, whether church or sports team or business, there's always going to be junk. There's always going to be tension. There's always going to be things to work through. But guess what? That tension is how we as people overcome. Through mature communication. By praying and loving on each other. You guys out there this morning? And being able to communicate and work through things and find out what the truth is instead of hiding behind our fear in the dark. Because nothing good comes from being in the dark. Amen? No truth comes from being in the dark. So what God is telling us this morning is, feed the faith that I've placed inside of you. When you become a Christian, the Bible says that all believers receive a measure of faith. That seed of faith comes to live inside of us. And faith is built by hearing and hearing the word of God. The more that we hear God's word, the more truth comes, the more truth that comes, the more free we are. Because when you know the truth sets you free. The light is shined on those things that are in darkness and lets us know what are lies and what are trying to consume us. Just like, here's what's amazing to me, just like God himself bakes bread and brings water to Elijah and puts it by his head, every morning we wake up, where is your cell phone? Where is your smartphone? On the nightstand, plugged in the bathroom maybe. It's pretty close by. With just a little click or a little slide, you can have every translation of the Bible in any language that you want on that thing. You can even turn on Bible Gateway and go to the audio versions of the Bible, and you don't even have to read it. It will read to you. Pretty amazing. The bread is sitting right next to our head. Come on, you guys out there? The bread is right next to our head. Just like the bread was next to Elijah's head, the bread of the Word of God is sitting next to us. We need to come regularly and eat from that. Not just conveniently, but regularly. Amen? The words that we are coming towards us out of the Word of God is building faith inside of us as we hear. And then the words that we hear are normally the words that we speak. Because somehow that word has got to get in us and get out of us. Because the spoken word of God is powerful. And the spoken word of God has authority. See, whatever we take in is what's eventually going to come out. Amen? Whatever we allow in is what we're going to talk about. You can always locate where someone's at in their life by what they say. If they're living in fear, if you get around them, then the conversation is normally surrounded by their fears and concerns for their life. And they want you to agree with them. They want you to hold them and cuddle them and, oh, it's going to be okay. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay for you to sit back here and behind the door of fear and just watch the news all day long. Just fear, just keep going. Some people got that news on 24/7. It's good to be informed, but all the time? Because if that's what you're feeding on, that fear is literally going to control you. Where I know people that were thriving members of our community, members of our church, I know people that were amazing Christians who have allowed the lies and the fear to push them back and to create a case in their mind. See, that's what fear does. Fear creates a case inside of your mind to try to justify you not obeying God, you not assembling yourselves together with other believers and worshiping together, you not even going to work anymore. And you live behind that door and keep feeding and feeding and feeding the fear. The key to getting free is the Word of God. We have got to feed ourselves. The bread is right by your head. That's a good one. The bread is right by your head. And God has given us His Word. We have, Americans, we have so many Bibles and so many trends. We have bookstores filled with Christian books, podcasts. You guys out there? Videos. You can Google any church in America that does podcasts and videos, and you can continually watch message after message after message of God's Word. You can even Google. You don't even need to get into God's Word and study for yourself. You can just Google a message, you know, dealing with the fear of man on Google, and there'll be multiple YouTube and GodTube videos that come up of pastors that have preached messages to help you deal with that fear. The Word of God is so available to us. Amen? We've got to stop avoiding it. Can you imagine if Elijah had Abraham's podcasts? That would have been great. Put on a couple things that Abraham went through and, you know, the first five books of the Bible and had Abraham's, or even if Elijah had Abraham's cassette tapes. Can you say amen? You guys out there, just give me a cassette tape and a cassette tape player. Here's what God says to him. God says, I will cook it for you. But, Elijah, you have got to take the fork and you've got to put it in your mouth and you've got to chew it and you've got to swallow it in order to get the strength that you need to move forward in your life. God, take the fear away. You know what God says? No, God says, feed your faith and your fear won't stand a chance. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. Feed your faith and your fear won't stand a chance. There is no fear that can overcome you and overtake you and cause you to be ineffective for God, because He has delivered us from all fear. Amen. And given us all the tools that we need to overcome any fear that we've ever dealt with from the beginning of time. God has left you some good stuff by your head. The bread is by your head. Amen? Look at the second thing that God spoke to Elijah about. He said, number two, go out and stand. Go out and stand. In verse 9, it says, and the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What? Elijah, what are you doing here? Has God ever said that to you? Why are you here? Why are you staying up all night and worrying? What does worry accomplish anyway? It doesn't accomplish a thing. Now you get to face your fear the next day with no sleep, right? And he goes into the cave and he spends the night. It's like, what are you doing here? What? This little safety thing inside that cave, Elijah, that you've created, doesn't require God anymore. It could be any kind of cave. It could be the cave of unforgiveness or the cave of bitterness. What happens is you get inside of the dark and it obstructs your view of who God is. Inside the cave of fear, and in the midst of that cave of fear, it begins to control you. Verse 10, he replied, here's Elijah's justification. You guys ready? Because we all can justify things. Remember, you know, Adam, it was the woman, right, who gave me the apple. And so here's Elijah, okay, says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Come on. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. It's not my fault. I mean, I've preached. I did everything I need to do. The Israelites torn down your altars, God, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And he's like this. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. This whole state of isolation. I'm the only believer left in my family. They're all out there drinking and partying, and I'm the only one left. And I'm being persecuted. This is what happens. Fear sticks you in a state of perceived isolation. And the more and more you believe that fear, the more and more it pushes you behind the door so that you are all alone. And the devil has got you right where he wants you. He wants you by yourself, alone, thinking your thoughts with no other input from anyone else. What happens when we become fearful and we become ashamed? And what happens? We don't take anybody's phone calls anymore. When we're in sin and those kind of things, we see Pastor Bob's going, oh, avoid him. Click off. Here he calls again. Oh, it's Pastor Bob again. Why doesn't he stop calling me? Click off. Oh, now it's Pastor Sibylle. Oh, he must have told her to call me. Click off. And, you know, you're gone from church 2, 3, 4 weeks. You know, we want to find out if hopefully you're not dead in your house and nobody knows about it, at least, you know. I mean, we're not trying to be controlling. We're just trying to see if you're alive because we care. Your boss calls. Haven't called in sick. Click off. What I'm going to do is I think that all businesses and churches, we should get the system that Gresham Barlow School has. Every time my daughter is late for a class, they call me that night. Hello, this is Gresham Barlow Schools. Please hold. Your daughter was not in period one. Lisa! Where were you?
Well, I was there, Dad. They just didn't mark me.
I'm thinking, okay. I can preach this now because she's working in the nursery. I'm going to be in trouble this afternoon. Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, this is City Park Church. You weren't in church this morning. Please hold. Lisa Trombi was not in City Park Church this morning, and she was marked absent. I know she's in the nursery serving God. Verse 11. This is what the Lord's response was to Elijah. He said, go out and stand. Go out and stand. Get your butt out of that cave. Move out of there. Go out and stand on the mountain. No, not down in the valley. I want you to climb up, and I want you to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to show up and pass by. Hallelujah. says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in it. See, Elijah, he's already seen spectacular things. So he's thinking, okay, look at this. Look at the powerful wind is coming, torn apart the mountain right in front of me. Where's God? Not there. Lord's not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. He's standing on the mountain, there's an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And as the mountain's shaken, Elijah's like, where's God? God's not there. See, a lot of times we look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. We look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural, and Elijah's looking for the spectacular. After the earthquake comes a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So what do we got here? We got earth, wind, and fire. God's not in any of it. Fire is difficult to make. Anybody see Castaway before? It's not easy. And after the fire came this, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing? Whisper. Elijah's already seen the results of the spectacular. He's already seen God do amazing things. But God says this, Elijah, come close to me. If I didn't have this microphone, if I was going to whisper to you, what would I do? I'd come right up to your ear. Whisper in your ear so that you can hear me. The devil shouts lies, but God comes in a still small voice and whispers truth. Jesus helps us to overcome our fears by calling us closer. I forgave your sins. I prepare a home for you. And now, Elijah, you're going to be afraid of people because you did this or you did that, or because you're going to be afraid of people because of mistakes that you've made, and you're going to be afraid of men all your life because all your father ever did was put you down. Or you're going to be fearful of people because you gained 30 pounds and you just don't feel confident. And really? In the cave, fear grows because the devil grows stuff in the dark. The devil makes things worse in the dark. Do you ever notice that things are worse in the dark? Every day, you walk by your dishwasher. Right? But then you go to bed at night and you got to get up and go down and get a drink of water, and you forgot you turned that thing on, and you go down in the kitchen and all of a sudden, you're like, whoa! Folks, it's a dishwasher. The devil makes things worse in the dark. See, darkness represents ignorance. If the devil can keep you ignorant, can keep you from pursuing God's word, and can keep you from hearing the still small voice and the whisper of God, he can send any thought that he wants to you, and you'll believe it. But when you get into the presence of God, the lights come on. You can have darkness all week long. And our prayer, and we prayed this morning, that we prayed the peace of God all around this building and in the parking lot. And we prayed that when you drove into the parking lot this morning, that you sense the peace and the presence of God surrounding this building. We prayed that when you came into our lobby this morning, that you noticed a calm and a peace. Because we know, I know, my wife knows, our leaders know, we know that life can be difficult at times. There is a battle going on out there. We want this to be a safe place that you come to during the week, where we live in a world where the devil is the god of this world, yet we have to understand our authority and what God has given us. That the bread is by our head, and we've got to get into God's word every day if we're going to not just survive, but God wants us to thrive. And then he created this amazing institution called the church, the light of the world. And we believe that all churches are changing the culture of cities and nations because of the message and the truth of the gospel. There is hope in Jesus Christ for us. There is hope for your life. And what God is whispering to us this morning is, come closer. I have something to tell you. Elijah, are you done in there? Come out. Come out and stand. Because the presence of the Lord is about to pass you by. Today, it's not just the presence of the Lord passing us by, but when you're a believer, it's the presence of the Lord comes to indwell you and live in you. And we are God carriers. We carry God's presence with us wherever we go. Amen. In you. Now here's in verse 14, he replied, like I said, I've been very zealous for God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. And I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, I've got a job for you to do. See, this is what I've wanted you to do all along. Go back the way that you came. Here's a great way to get right with God again. Go back to the last thing that God told you to do and begin to do it. Go back and say, God, forgive me for yielding to my fear. God, I want everything in me to please you and obey you. Because I know that I've been born on this earth for a greater purpose than to just exist. I want to change people's lives. I want to love people. I want to help people. And I know that the only way I can is by seeing people's hearts changed by the amazing transformation that takes place when they receive you as their Lord and Savior. New creatures in Christ. And God is like, okay, Elijah, here you are again. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to anoint Hazael king over Aram. Listen, Elijah, listen. I know you're getting a little bit older. I've got the best retirement plan for you. Aren't you guys glad for that? I've got the best retirement plan for you. First of all, I want you to anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi. Sounds like a video game, you know, Nimshi, Yushi, what's the guy? Yoshi, yeah, see? Must be brothers. Nimshi, Yoshi, must be brothers there, right? So anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. I got a great retirement plan for you. I already got somebody trained up within your school of the prophets, who's going to take over for you, Elisha, okay? Jehu will be put to death, will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. So you don't need to be solo crazy man kill 850 prophets anymore. I'm gonna give you Elisha, and he's gonna fight with you. Amen. He's gonna do some things. Yet here's the thing. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have never bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah thought he was alone. Elijah's like, I'm the only one left in Israel. And God's like, no, 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 no. See, the lie of the enemy is that you're the only one going through what you're going through, and you'll never get free from that fear because it's so bad. It's so bad that no one's ever got free from the fear that I'm experiencing in my life. That is the classic demonic lie for your life. There was 7,000 reserved for God who never bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. It says there, so Elijah went from there. He got back to work. Got back on God's plan. There is no fear in love, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. No fear, no fear. No fear, no fear. You know, I believe that Paul, in his ministry, was fearful. Why? Because multiple times he prayed for boldness and he asked others to pray for boldness for him. Fear will always come. The key is, are you going to feed your fear or are you going to feed your faith with the bread by your head? God has given us everything we will ever need to overcome anything that comes at us and attacks us. Amen? And we're all doing it together, all doing life together, all dealing with fears, all dealing with lies. But the more truth we know, and the more we know the truth, the more we can dispel those fears and use the authority that God's given us against those fears. Because fear, as we'll talk about next week, is a spirit that God has not given us. And he's given us authority over the demonic spiritual world. And we need to take control of it and walk in that. Amen. Everybody bow your heads. Let's close your eyes.